It's Greg Pope, John Burton Show right here on Nashville Sports Radio, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Gog and Cold Hall.
Coldest team in town.
Indeed. Hanging out in the Strike and Spare studios. Kevin Ingram. Well, the news yesterday, I guess you may or may not have seen this, but yesterday, Vanderbilt press release. Alan Allegrotta will be the new Vanderbilt director of radio broadcasting, play-by-play football, baseball. Kevin Ingram will be director of digital operations, play-by-play men's basketball, football sideline, and they're all involved on the SEC network coverage with that. And, of course, Kevin has been all over our – he's on the air here more than we are, quite frankly, which is better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think if I were Joe Average Guy, I would rather listen to Inge call a game, a Vandy boy game, than listen to us two jokers on the radio.
I wasn't going to go that far.
I just did.
But Kevin, good morning from Omaha. What's up, man?
Omaha! 52 is the mic, Inge.
What's happening?
52 is the mic, Inge. How you doing, Kev?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I'm out here in Omaha where the expected high today. I heard your weather report there a minute ago for Nashville. It's supposed to be 105 here today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we got here yesterday. It's like, what is the temperature here? Like 170? I'm like, it's been hot at homes like this. But, yeah, it's all good, man. Just happy to be here. We flew in yesterday, and all the other teams got here, too. We saw some of the other teams. We saw Arizona and saw Tennessee's buses. They were getting ready to arrive. So, yeah, it's cool. This is one of the great events in American sports. I came out here a couple years ago and really looking forward to seeing it again.
Well, we covered the send-off yesterday on campus, and I got to say, Corbs and the boys were looking dapper. Sport coats, ties. I mean, this is a business trip for the Vandy boys and you, no?
Yeah, I had to put on a tie, too. Those were some I'd worn a tie in a while. I need to get my sport coat dry clean. I was reminded of that when I put it on. Yeah, the guys are looking good. I think Enrique Bradfield might have stole the show. You know, he had the shades and the Jordans and everything going on. Yeah, those guys look sharp. That's kind of a tradition for them. That's what they've done. They don't typically do that on every road trip, but for the World Series trips, they've dressed in suits to come out. But now you put on the uniforms and get ready to go.
Well, we had Tim on, Tuesday morning, right? Mm-hmm. Usually on you're in Tim's regularly weekly spot there.
Yeah.
Inge. So.
Do I need to do a Corbin impersonation?
Let's hear it.
What do you got?
No, I think I better
say yeah.
I don't want to get he has the power to like make people on this road trip disappear. Yeah.
what happened to Inge? I don't know. He never got on the bus.
he's gone.
we're gonna flag that. Hey, have you thought about? You know, and I know in media we can talk about eight, you know, we don't have to play it one game at a time. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Have you thought about the game-winning call potentially for a national championship? It's not without question. Vanderbilt goes in as the Vegas favorite, as a matter of fact. Because I'm going to tell you, Eli Gold, I asked this him one time. I said, do you think about what your national championship call will be when it is exactly that moment? And, you know, he said, yeah, I practice in the shower. And we all know Eli. I wish I hadn't asked that question. But if you but have you thought about it any? I mean, or is it just got to come natural? Hopefully you get to that point.
I have practiced this often in the shower, Greg.
Touchdown, Alabama!
Hey, I don't even know who we're playing after Saturday. I'm only looking at Saturday's game. I have no idea who the other teams even are. No, to be honest, you know, it's funny. I think about that kind of stuff, and you know, you want it to be sort of organic and spontaneous, but you really need to have a plan going into those last innings. Like, I was very nervous on Saturday. In that super regional game, the game went along, and especially as Vanderbilt got the lead, it's like, okay, I'd kind of been thinking about that for a long time. It's like, what if I get to this point where they have a chance to win a game to go to the World Series or maybe win a national championship? You know, I got to come up with a plan here on what I'm going to do. And that morning or maybe Friday, I'd sort of jotted down in my phone a few thoughts about how I wanted to do it. And I really decided just to keep it simple. It's Omaha for Vanderbilt and then kind of give the details and that sort of thing. It was the same thing when Jack Leiter pitched the no-hitter. When that game got to the middle innings, a couple of people have asked me about this, like, did you plan out what you're going to say? And, you know, it got to the middle innings, like, man, this thing might actually happen, and especially as it started to get into the seventh and the eighth. And so I was like, okay, I got to have a plan here and think of something cool to say. But you really, more than anything in those moments, you want it to be a clean finish. Like, you want it to be a definite play where it's a strikeout or a flyout or whatever it is. You don't want it to be something that's reviewed. You know, they always feel bad for people calling games when there's a review that decides the game, or, you know, something really big. I think that happened in the World Series a couple years ago. But I just want it to be a clean finish so you can kind of deliver that line, give the details, and sort of get out of the way, let it breathe for a second, and then come back and do some more. But, man, I was really nervous about getting it right on Saturday in the Super Regional game. And I was happy with the way it came out. And it was just like the no-hitter. I decided to sort of keep it simple and go that way.
Kevin Ingram is our guest, the voice of Vanderbilt baseball right here on WNSR. Inge, you know, Arizona, Corbs talked about this a couple days ago. That's a tough opponent to start with, no?
Yeah, it is, John. They've got some hitters in that lineup. I watched quite a bit of their games with Ole Miss, and man, they got some dudes that can swing the bats. Their team batting average is way over 321, one of the best in the country. And you know, the games they won against Ole Miss, they really piled up some runs. So I think that's going to be a big challenge. But the good part for Vanderbilt is you know, especially in these first two games, you got the big guns going. You got Kamar Rocker in game one, and you'll have Jack Leiter pitch the second game. And it's a big ballpark. It can neutralize some of that power. You know, Vanderbilt's lineup is really balanced. You know, they got some power, got some speed, and different things going on. But that, you know, that Arizona group, man, they can really make you look bad. They can put some runs up. But it'll be interesting to see how that game plays in this park, which, you know, in some ways, it's sort of like going to the Hoover Met, which was like going to Death Valley after some of the places in the SEC. But this TD Ameritrade Park plays really big. There's a lot of foul territory, and you know, maybe that works to Vanderbilt's advantage with the pitchers they have.
You know, Kevin, a lot of people are, you know, sort of concerned about the offense production and everything, and you look at how many runs were scored, certainly in the Super Regional. I'm going to count that, chalk that up as much to what East Carolina. I mean, that's a College World Series caliber team. I mean, Gavin Williams at the top, especially on that Friday night.
That was awesome.
Yeah. and, you know, he's a first-rounder to be in everything. But, you know, obviously Kumar, Leiter at the top. It looks like the back end with Murphy and Maldonado getting those two innings on Saturday. They split 8-9 on Friday, but where do they go after that? Riley, certainly Christian Little, at 17 years old, is going to have to be called upon as a starter somewhere along this process. And I believe Corbs had even said at the regional gone to that Monday that it was going to be Christian Little. So isn't that the concern of really where they go after these top two? Because, like I said, the top end and the bottom end seem pretty secure.
Yep. And on that, I think that's been a question mark for this team the whole season, Greg. I mean, finding that game three starter, that Sunday starter for the weekend. One thing that really impressed everybody was how Christian Little pitched in the SEC tournament. He came out there in that first game against Ole Miss, and he was lights out. I mean, he pitched really with a lot of confidence, and that was the best anybody had seen him throw. So I think he's going to be he'll be called upon, I think, and he might get that game three starter. You know, maybe it is Patrick Riley, and the formula for that is, you know, you get Patrick Riley out there, you get a few innings, and maybe settle in a little bit, and you bring in McIlvain out of the bullpen to bridge the gap to the back end. But yeah, I think it'll for game three, it'll be one of those guys. You know, you think back to 2019, having a guy like Mason Hickman, who, you know, would be a Friday night starter for pretty much every other team in the country, and being able to throw him out there and, you know, in those type situations was such a plus for this team. You know, he pitched him in the championship against Michigan that last game. You have the luxury of throwing a guy like that out there. But I think that's going to be interesting to see. You know, especially you hope you win, you play on the winner's side of the bracket, then you get Rocker Saturday and Leiter Monday, and then you play again, I think, on Wednesday. How does it go from there? But yeah, that's been, you know, it's been sort of the one thing they've been searching for this whole season, is that consistent starter in that number three spot.
Inge, what about the lineup? Who needs to step up, you know, in the College World Series out of that lineup? Because obviously we don't have the big bomb hitters like J.J. Blade a couple years ago. You know, Dom Keegan is certainly capable of doing that. And, you know, you've got some guys that can, once they get on base, they can make some hay. But is there one or two guys out of that lineup you'd like to see really get hot?
Yeah, Carter Young.
Yeah, Carter Young. Is there one or two guys you'd like to see get hot?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting team because it is pretty balanced. I mean, you don't have the big sluggers. Young has 15 home runs and Keegan has 14 and IT Isaiah Thomas has 13. But they're not really a home run team. It's like the home runs kind of come in flurries, but they're really more of like a doubles type team. The one guy who can really carry him if he gets hot, to me, is Isaiah Thomas. I mean, you'll know he's hot when he's hitting line drives gap to gap. He hit that big grand slam against Georgia Tech, which he pulled. I mean, that's kind of an unusual-looking home run for him. Well, when he's locked in, man, he's hitting everything to the middle of the field. To me, that's a guy who could be a real X factor for Vanderbilt. But he gets it rolling, man. He can. I mean, he's getting three hits and a double and a home run every game, it seems like. But yeah, I think a big key is getting Enrique Branfield on base and causing problems for the pitcher, because, I mean, it's such a distraction when he's out there. You'll see guys throw over the first 15 times, or if he gets on second.
Yeah. What was that one game where he just kept throwing?
Yeah, I think it was either against Presbyterian or Georgia Tech. I can't remember which one. But I thought I was just going to have to go to a break there for a minute, and you know, come. But well, we're going to take a commercial and come back after, you know, seeing.
Or just put it on a loop. Put it on a loop.
But, you know, it's one of the things like, how many more ways can I call? He throws over to first, and Bradfield's back safely. I mean, it's the same thing over and over. But he can cause problems. It would be really nice if Tate Colwick can get back in the lineup. He got hurt in that game against Presbyterian. You know, he'd had surgery on his hand back earlier in the season, and then he injured that left hand, which is glove hand, not his throwing hand, which is a good thing. And he's been taking some BP, but if he can get back in the lineup, and get back into the groove swinging the bat, which are sometimes two different things, I think that would be a big factor too.
You think this team, though, is more built for TD Ameritrade because of it's not a power park, and you got to almost think unwittingly or unwittingly, Tim Corbin builds this team for this setting, and I like the fact that, you know, Arizona, good Lord, they've, 330 team batting average and got like six players plus 350, but a team like Tennessee, for example, that wants to hit a lot of home runs may have to adjust a little of the approach, where I think Vandy is sort of built for this stadium.
Yeah, you hope so.
That's me being a cheerleader, okay? All right.
Homer guy here.
Yeah. Yeah, you do hope so. The one thing, you know, that stands out about Vanderbilt is that I noticed that Vanderbilt, when you line them up against other teams, Vanderbilt guys always look athletic, you know, put together, those sorts of things. You know, you see around college baseball, you see all sorts of players. Like, you see some guys that look like they're out of the beer league, where they, you know, kind of the, you know, stocky dudes with the long hair and all that. But
little boiler in the front there, yeah.
Right, exactly. Or you see, my favorite thing is like the relief pitcher. Like, you bring in, you know, some dude from the bullpen. He's got the shirt like halfway unbuttoned, a big gold chain and a mullet going. Like I love seeing that kind of stuff. But yeah, Vanderbilt's group is always, you know, very athletic, and you guys, you know, you tell them to spend a lot of time in the weight room and training and all those sorts of things. But yeah, you hope they are built for this ballpark. Although, you know, I think back to Hoover, and you know, the run production really got shut down in the three games we played down there. So I hope that's not a bad sign for this with a similar type ballpark.
Inge, it's been the talk of the state, and you know, everybody's talking about it. I'm curious to get your thoughts. The possibility of Vanderbilt v. Tennessee in the College World Series final. Have you thought about it? Would you like to see it? What are your overall thoughts?
Well, I'd like to see it in the fact that if you get to that point, you'd be in the championship series.
That'd
be great. I mean, it'd be great for the state. I mean, there's no question about that the rivalry and all sorts of those type things. And, you know, the really thing that I think would be played up a lot would be the contrast with how the two programs go about doing business. At the end of the day, they're both winning programs, but you know, you look at Tennessee's guys show up in like t-shirts and shorts out here yesterday. You know, we talked about Vanderbilt coming in here in suits and, you know, ties and all that stuff. But you know, I think that's been part of Tony Vitello's mission, is to sort of be different and you know, kind of be that wild and rowdy group, which, you know, that's fine. I mean, whatever works for you. You got to admire the job that he has done and that program has done. And if anybody, I will say, if anybody thinks that all their success is just because they play in that really small ballpark in Knoxville, Lindsey Nelson Stadium, that's not true. I watched them play some in Hoover at the SEC tournament, And they were hitting some bombs down there, too. So it's not like they're hitting all wall scrapers in a small ballpark. They're a really good team. Their pitching's really come along. We played them back in April, and Vanderbilt won 2 out of 3 when we played over there. But it was a tight series.
Yeah.
No, it was wild.
Games were intense, emotional, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was fun. I mean, yeah. It would be insane if Vanderbilt and Tennessee played for the national championship. But I tell you what, man, I don't discount it. Vanderbilt has obviously, you know, terrific pitching and a balanced lineup. And Tennessee, man, they have got to be one of the hottest teams in the country right now. So I would not discount that one bit. There are 6 other teams out of here that have something to say about it. But it'd be something to see. It'd be quite a show, that's for sure.
Saturday night, 6 o'clock, 5:45, Kevin Ingram, all the games, all the way through. Kevin, really enjoy listening to you. You're doing a great job, man. Not bad for a Bowling Green High Purple. And number two,
yeah,
and I almost debated whether to have you on the air today or not after your Reds swept my Brewers. Okay.
So, you know, just, man, it's just been a big week for me.
Hell, they're hot. What are they, only a couple, what, 2-3 games back now? So
It's June, so yeah. Holler at me.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing's handed out in June, right? That's true.
So. Exactly. You know, I watched the Reds for years as a kid. You know, they go out to the West Coast in August and just melt down every year. That's about the way it usually goes. So, yeah, but the Reds have played well, so it's been fun. Hey, thanks for the kind words about the job, too. Really appreciate it.
Well, congratulations. Love hearing that. And certainly going forward, basketball is going to be fun. I think Stackhouse is building, you know, quietly some of the players. And, hey, I mean, I know we can't talk all day, but tell us, Frank's son, Taren, transferring from TCU. How about that?
That was awesome. I saw that, and I was like, man, I think that's Tellus Frank's son. And mm-hmm. You know, if for people don't remember, Tellus was a fantastic player at Western Kentucky back in the mid-'80s. You know, as a teenager, man, I used to go to every one of them. My uncle took me to every one of those games, and I saw Tellus play from the time he was a freshman to when he was done. And he is legit one of the greatest players ever to wear red and white. So,
first-round draft pick.
Yeah, see Taren playing for the Commodores will be neat.
Yeah, I've already talked to Tellus and actually had him on the radio right after that sort of came out. So,
cool.
Yeah, anyway. Hey, Kevin, we'll be listening. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
All right, see you. Kevin Ingram at K Ingram Sports. He joined us on the F&M Bank phone line. Just happy for Kevin. We'll do this. Adam will be happy we take a break.